Welcome to the SearchITChannel.com Partner News Podcast for the week ending November 7th, 2008. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Features Editor.
Barb Darrow, News Editor.
And today we'll be joined by Jeff Baywall, President of Technology Solutions at Avnet. Thanks for joining us, Jeff.
Well, thank you, ladies. It's a pleasure being here, and I look forward to our discussion.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on at Avnet now.
Well, from an overall perspective, we are battling the economic environment just like everybody else is. We're struggling with news of financial crisis here or there, a banking closure here or there. And we represent brands like IBM and HP and Sun Microsystems, along with EMC and NetApp, along with software lines like Oracle and so forth. And all those are great brands to have, and all of them are involved in some sector of government or finance or whatever. So I don't think they're free from some of the troubles that are out there. But we're hanging in there, and we're doing okay. We're not setting stellar performance rates, but at the same time, we're doing okay.
And Jeff, I noticed I did a little blurb on you guys announced a credit or leasing option with EMC. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and if that's going to make life easier for storage VARs going forward.
Yeah, that's our plan. I think that was Barb who asked the question.
Yes.
I think that's our plan, Barb. Our plan is to make it easier for our partners in this financial time. We know cash is king, and for them to keep their businesses running, it's very important for us to make sure that we come up with different viable options for them. This EMC financing option is one of them. I think you'll... we continually try to work for new programs that help the partners in any given situation, but especially the one we're in today, we're trying to be more creative than normal and allow them to have the cash flow they need to keep their businesses running, and more importantly than just running, but also growing. Because as much as this can be a bad time for certain people, I think it's also an opportunistic time for people who have sound core practices, who have strong service offerings, who have strong product and sales offerings. And that's one reason why we've taken an effort to get more into our what we call our solutions distribution environment, which we're focused on solution practices and solution verticals, such as healthcare and government from a vertical perspective and solution practices arena. We're really focused on virtualization, security, unified communication, storage management, and so on. So we continue to roll out programs and what we call university-style learning for our partners. So we're trying to enable them through better education and knowing how to work within the environment, and then also making sure that they have the financial resources to run their business and accelerate.
You know, Jeff, the whole notion of solution sales has been bandied about for quite some time, and I'm just curious about what you see as new there. It sounds like you guys are putting some resources behind it, but for a long time now, distributors and VARs have talked about you got to sell the whole solution, not point products, blah blah blah. So what is that? Is this a case of the reality keep catching up to the hype?
Yeah, I would say a couple of things, Barb. I think the one thing that's a little different is we've been talking about being a solutions distributor for a little while, meaning 18, 24 months, and quite frankly, I don't think our actions were matching our words. We had a lot of verbiage, as you described, just as a lot of people have had over the year, because it was kind of the right thing to do. And I would say in the last 6 or 9 months, we put a lot more action behind our words. And let me give you an example of that. In our healthcare practice, as an example, we took a gentleman who was running, who currently had history running our HP business, also ran our client exec organization, and also ran our recruiting team. And we asked this individual to focus on healthcare and how can our partners be more successful in healthcare. Well, one of the things he did initially was went out and hired a CIO from a hospital. And the two of them have created what we call health. So HealthPath University allows them to learn the language of the doctor, the language of the nurses, the language of the, of the finance people that are at a hospital. Because the last thing you can do at a hospital is walk in and say, do you need more storage or do you need a better server? And they won't know what you're talking about. But if you go in there and talk about how's the rate of your images on your x-ray equipment, or how's the CAT scans going and what happens, what's your biggest frustration? And they'll say time, to get an image or whatever the case may be. And then you diagnose back to it might be a storage or a server problem, but you can't go and ask that question. And this whole entity has taken off for us. We've had probably 150 people attend this university from about 45 different partners. As we look at the performance of those partners, they have growth year over year of like 54% in this segment, so it's huge for us. We also have expanded that program into an internship program where they actually will do the class, and it's normally a 3 to 5 day class, so it's a pretty big time commitment by our partners. And then on top of that, they run them through an intern program, and I believe the intern program is 2 or maybe 3 days long. And they actually walk a hospital, walk through and put on scrubs, go through operating rooms, go through data centers, go through the actual billing labs. It's pretty intense. So I would tell you, I don't think we're just talking it anymore. I think we're actually walking the walk. And we're moving that same methodology into our government practice. We've already moved it into our virtualization practice, and soon our security and storage management and unified communication will flow in the same direction. So I think there's more substance to it than just talk.
And I think you guys also announced recently a global integration center. I may have the terminology wrong. Tell us a little bit about how that will help VARs.
Yeah, we call it the Global Solution Center. Like every company, we have a ton of acronyms, right, the GSM. So for us, it's Global Solution Center. But we also do integration there. So you were correct in how you the terminology that you use for it. Basically, what it's for is our hope, we have a center here, we have a center in China, and we also have a center over in Europe. And our goal is to, design once and produce anywhere in the world. And as we start to go towards global partners, that becomes very important to them. So we have the ability to do that. I have two other counterparts, one in Asia, one in Europe, and we work very closely together on how the centers run together. We think it's very important for the centers to function as a singular union if that's important to our partners. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is a lot of partners don't have the integration capabilities that you just asked the question about. So we have that because we're able, as a distributor, we're able to scale where they can't possibly scale because maybe they just don't have enough work to do that. So we're a great alternative for them to do that if they want us to do the work on their behalf. And then I would say lastly, a distributor is very good at growing and very good at being, scalable. And if we have multiple partners in different regions, say across the Americas, that need different builds being done, again, we can do that probably more cost effectively than they can. And our design teams can probably work in conjunction with their design teams. So we usually augment what the partner has. And then when they get up to a critical size enough that they're hiring on their own, then we get out of the way and they continue to do the work. So I think there's multiple ways that we can help partners with the center.
And then finally, I got to ask, virtualization just seems to be such a dominant technology. I'm curious about you've talked about UC and other things, but if you were going to name the top driving technology, what's driving the top technology buying decisions out there now, is virtualization in the top five all the time? And if not, what other top technologies are you seeing?
I think it is. I think it's absolutely in the top five. There's very seldom it's not in the top five. And the part that we enjoy about virtualization, candidly, is it touches a lot of other pieces of our business, right? Because if you're going to do a virtualization either around storage or servers, but, you still need to have, services that are associated with that. You normally, if you're consolidating servers, you're buying more storage. Or normally, if you're doing, consolidation of storage, then you have services that wrap around that. So from our partner's perspective, it's a great play for them because, candidly, it utilizes most of the strengths that these value-add guys bring to market. So overall, you're absolutely right. You are not incorrect. The virtualization is usually among the top five, and I think will continue to be for a while.
Great. Well, thanks so much for your time, Jeff. We really appreciate you having you here.
All right. Thank you very much, Elaine.
Don't forget to tune in next week when we will have Kaseya CEO Gerald Blackie on the show.
To download this podcast and other past ones, check out searchitchannel.com/download. Be sure to use searchitchannel.com for all of your IT channel professional needs. This has been Elaine Hom,
Barb Darrow,
and thanks for joining us.